everything you know will change.
I'd like to have everybody's attention for a moment.
You the man.
What's that mean? You the man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, now all of a sudden you're stepping up to the next level of competition.
All right, listen up.
Welcome to The Rundown. Here's Desmond Johnson.
It is Saturday. It is Saturday, Sports Hub fans. You know what that means. Welcome to The Rundown. Lots to recap and look forward to. NBA All-Star Weekend descends upon Charlotte. What are the odds Kemba Walker is named the MVP of the game? Plus, which slam dunk contest was the best ever? We'll go around the ACC. How much did the Louisville meltdown earlier this week really cost the rest of the ACC? And in a special two-part barbershop talk today, we're going to pick our own all-ACC teams, but that comes with a catch. All of that and more. Welcome to the only live weekend sports talk show in the Triad. This is The Rundown. I am your host, Desmond Johnson, joined by John Oshesky, a.k.a. Johnny O, and Rod Funderburk. What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Des?
Des, Johnny, how you guys doing?
It's a wet and nasty Saturday morning outside in the Triad. I was not expecting that. It's probably about 20 degrees cooler than it was yesterday, but...
It is, but I don't know about you guys, but I'm still buzzing from Monday's massacre that the Rundown boys did when we went bowling.
Oh, yeah.
Against the whatever that other force. Josh tried to roll the ball. We had Al was going left-handed, right-handed. He didn't know which way to shoot.
He wasn't that bad, though.
No, Al was playing great.
we have to say that.
And Johnny had a heck of a game, didn't he?
He did. I brought the print scores back. We had like a, what's the word you would use, like morale day or whatever it was.
Team building.
For the station. And had bowling earlier in the day, and then we had our pizza watch party at Pie Guy's Pizza out in Clemens and watched Carolina take on Virginia in a pretty wild back-and-forth game this past Monday. I want to actually get into what we saw in the middle of the week, which was the biggest roller coaster of a game you'll probably see for the rest of this season, and that was Duke and Louisville. We'll get into all of that and get you set up for everything in the ACC this weekend starting at noon today. We got games kicking off here. Right here in Winston-Salem, Carolina and Wake Forest kicking off at noon. So we'll get into all that and more.
Go Heels.
The question of the day, who wins tonight between Duke and NC State? Intern Aaron and Sawyer Dillon, our producer extraordinaire, in the control booth. Aaron Manning, our Twitter and Facebook accounts. He has that poll up for you right now. We want to know, do you think NC State could pull off the upset, or do you think Duke's going to win fairly comfortably? Go in there and get your votes in there and let us know how you feel on Sports Hub Triad on Twitter. If you want to see the Carolina Thunderbirds at the Annex this season for only $5, check out the Sports Carolina Monthly Thunderbird deal. Go to sportscarolinamonthly.com, click on the Thunderbirds ticket special at the top of the homepage, get your ticket vouchers, and enjoy hockey action in the Triad. Single game tickets, only $5 exclusively from Sports Carolina Monthly, and go Thunderbirds. I want to say I did a check with Heidi in the middle of the week because I keep the tickets here for people to pick up. I want to say I only have like 20 or 25 of them left, so if you want them, you need to get them and reserve them. I know the Thunderbirds are on the road today. They'll be back next weekend, so you can actually get them now while they're still available and be able to get into those games. But, fellas, even though they ultimately lost the game, the Louisville Cardinals, did they provide a blueprint for a more experienced team to beat Duke? And I know Louisville has seniors and they have juniors, and that's not the type of experience I mean. I mean a team that has experience winning big games, because I think if you stuck – a Gonzaga or a Michigan or maybe even a Carolina in that situation where they're up 23 at home against Duke with 9 minutes to go, I don't think that they would lose that game. Matter of fact, Louisville could have just took a shot clock violation every possession from the 9 minute mark on and still had enough points to win, and somehow they miraculously lost this game. And I watched the whole meltdown happen,
because I
came back right at the beginning of the second half. And I was like,
you could see it happening.
It was like it was in the cards. Even when the Louisville players, they stole the ball or got the ball back, maybe it was a rebound, and the kid slipped right up under Duke's goal, and Jones just grabs the ball and says, thank you, here's a quick, easy 2 points.
Easy two, and the pressure that they put on Louisville. I mean, Duke at one time, you know, the 23-point lead, it was 59-36 with 9:08 left on the clock. That means Duke had 36 points in 31 minutes of play, and then they scored 35 in the next 9 minutes.
And it's not like they shot well either. They just – it was like a lot of – in that stretch
end. But at the beginning, you know, how do you stop Duke? They weren't hitting anything the first 31 minutes. And Louisville was forcing them to take a bunch of three-pointers and this and that. And of course, Louisville was going 100 miles an hour when they were playing well. And then they're up by 23, and they went even faster. But Duke made them play faster, and they could not handle the ball. That was such a meltdown. But give Duke so much credit on that. I mean, the pressure that they were putting on that poor Louisville team. That Louisville team looked like a middle school team.
They lost it. I've never seen a team go from overconfident to scared in a game before like that, because they went for 30 minutes of the game, the whole first half and the first half of the second half, looking like world beaters. And then it was like a slow drip, because Duke just kept that. They were doing like a 2-2-1 full court press, and then they had Zion at the back of it. So you couldn't throw over top of it out of fear of him just leaping up and grabbing it. And then if you did get past it, then they had this like kind of hybrid 2-3 zone going on in half court, but it went all the way out to the half court line. Yeah, so they were just putting pressure on them. And that's all they did. They didn't do anything in particular but just play the press like video game style, and it worked. And Louisville acted like they didn't know how to get out of a press.
And they didn't.
But that's odd, because they do the press. They practice this like every day. And it's like they'd never seen it before. It was wild.
Yeah, you can handle whatever it is that you usually put pressure on, you know?
But it looked like none of the Louisville players wanted the ball.
Yeah, they would not come to the ball.
They did not want the ball. As soon as they caught it, they just wanted to get rid of it and just
they
get
sure
this
did.
They teach
hands.
That in elementary school when you're playing basketball. If someone gets stuck with the ball, go to it. And none of the Louisville players would go to the ball. Yeah. Duke only shot 25% from three. They shot 7-for-28 for the game.
But I want to know what it was at, you know, the last 9 minutes.
Reddish had a couple. I think they were like 4-for-9 or something in that last 10 minutes.
Yeah. That little between the leg pass.
Oh, when Barrett came down.
They didn't talk about that enough.
He looked like a blocker coming down. Yes. And then Barrett just drops it between his legs, and Reddish is there.
Just
and
buried it.
Man.
Did Louisville expose them a bit? Because I had mentioned this throughout the year. I thought the way to beat Duke was to get either RJ or Zion in foul trouble, so they're not in the mix of the game. They can't get in a rhythm. You just got to defend the paint, make them shoot over you, because they're not a good shooting team in general. I think they've only hit double digits in threes 4 times all year. Yeah. I think you have to control the boards, which Louisville was doing. They were doing all
and
of this.
And they were playing good team defense at the beginning too.
They were,
which was really Louisville. I think the key point. Yeah, Louisville was playing great team defense before that meltdown, and I just don't understand what happened.
They just ran out of gas, I guess. I'm not sure, but
because they had great energy.
Duke got zero help from their bench. Javon Delorier scored 1 point. That's the only point scored on the bench.
That's normal, though. They don't get much from the bench.
Even Bolden was a starter, and he only scored 2 points. It's all mainly Reddish and Williamson. Williamson went 27, Reddish with 22. R.J. Barrett had an off game, 13 points. That's an opportunity to beat them. Yeah. And
they had it. They had an opportunity.
Just fell out.
But I tell you what, you know, Duke has had games like this, but not for 31 minutes, you know, where they were getting beat. They've been down a few times, maybe, I'm guessing on this, I don't know, but I have watched, maybe 3 or 4 times at halftime they've been down. Mm-hmm. You know, remember Georgia Tech had them. Mm-hmm. You know, even whoever they played, I forget.
They played
Lehigh or somebody.
It was
had
like Army earlier in the year. They had a rough time. That was
Florida State, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Florida State, they had the same issue.
This was for 31 minutes, and my prediction on Louisville wasn't supposed to be this good this point of the season. And I think with that debacle that happened in Louisville, they're going to go back to where they are supposed to be, and that's like mid-range in the ACC. I don't think they're as good as their record was leading up to that game.
I thought that before that game, and then watching by halftime, I was thinking Louisville is like a 3 or a 4 seed, that they seem like they have the ability to get to the Final Four. Like they seem like that 4 seed that makes it all the way out of the region, and like it's depending on the draw and who they had to get through and luck. But then after watching a meltdown like this, I'm just like, okay, well, maybe they're not ready, because it almost looked like they were scared of Zion, and like they were afraid to lose the game, so they just stopped shooting it. They would get across half court, and then they would look around, and like they didn't know how to even get their offense started after a point.
And then they would take crap shots.
Yeah, they were taking horrible shots. Yeah. So I don't know. It's up in the air for Louisville. They got a tough contest again today. Looking around the ACC.
But even a little bit in that game, too, Dez, I didn't mean to cut you off, but bit in that game, man, you know, Duke had like a lack of defensive awareness at the beginning of the game. They weren't really guarding on the perimeter at all, and they were even got a little lackadaisical up under the basket, which was very abnormal for
them.
They were
getting out-muscled, really, down in the paint. Louisville was out-rebounding them, it's interesting to me because Carolina-Duke is this Wednesday. Carolina's always one of the top rebounding teams in the country. So I kind of expect them to take advantage of that. If they can lead the rebounding category, and this is one of the few years that Carolina can actually defend the perimeter. They've got a lot of wing guys, but we're banged up. Leaky Black, Nasir Little still walking around limping. Sterling Manley hasn't played since December, I think. So, I mean, our rotation is limited at Carolina, and I'm not sure who's going to be available for Wednesday. I think they said for today, looking at the ACC scoreboard, 12 noon today at the Joel in Winston, number 8 North Carolina taking on Wake Forest. Wake Forest stumbling into this game at 9-14 overall, 2-9 in the ACC. Carolina 9-2 in the ACC, still sniffing around the top of the standings. Right now, Duke has a one game lead over Virginia and Carolina for the ACC. So these games today kind of trap games for Duke and Carolina, but the Duke Carolina game is going to put some separation between Carolina and the rest at the top, or it's going to bring Duke back to the pack and have them all tied up. So it's an interesting week in the ACC.
It's about time that game's going to happen on Wednesday. My gosh,
yeah, it feels like it should have happened already, like a week or two ago, but it's been a little bit later than normal. Also today at 12 noon, Clemson taking on number 16 Louisville. That's actually at the Yum Center in Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville really needs that win.
I'm anxious to see how Louisville responds to that.
They're 8-4 in the ACC, so they're right behind that top tier.
And the funny thing is, Louisville plays Syracuse on Wednesday, and Syracuse is playing just like, I mean, they're like a Louisville too. You don't know what team's going to show up. So Wednesday,
up and down all year.
That game's right before the Duke. Carolina game.
Oh, yeah.
So that should be, you know, that might separate that second tier a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
2 o'clock today, Notre Dame taking to the road to go face number 4 Virginia.
Look at Notre Dame, 3-8.
3-8.
They haven't
ACC.
Had a year like this in a while.
No, they're a while. Super young. You know, and Mike Bray, he'll have that team going next year, this just isn't going to be the year for them. Number 17, Florida State taking on Georgia Tech. I believe that's a 4 o'clock tip off.
FSU is starting to play like they're supposed to.
Yeah, be 19-5 overall, 7-4 ACC.
That's a nice team right there.
Yeah, now Florida State now strikes me as a team that might be a 3 or 4 seed that gets to the Elite Eight or something like that. They got a lot of
athletes and experience.
Yeah. 4:30 p.m. tip-off, number 22, Virginia Tech taking on Pitt. That is in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, 2-10 in the ACC, 12-13 overall. Big turnaround for Jeff Capel, considering this team was winless in the ACC for, what, like 2 seasons in a row or something crazy?
And they've been competitive. You know, they're 2-10, but they've been competitive.
And then the nightcap tonight at 6 p.m., NC State taking on second-ranked Duke. Mm. And again, we have that as a poll question on our Twitter account, at Sports Hub Triad on Twitter. Can the Wolfpack complete the upset of the Blue Devils today?
I mean, you never know about the Wolfpack, man. Like, I was shocked when the Wolfpack and Syracuse played because, you know, I found myself, of course, cheering for Syracuse because, you know, I'm a Carolina guy, so I cheer against anybody who's
because you're buddies with me, but I guess I'm not going to throw that in there.
Well, Johnny, that's a given, my friend.
I wasn't cheering for Syracuse in the second half because they were making me sick. And not to interrupt, but NC State didn't even play that well, and they still crushed Syracuse.
And that was the thing.
Was
I was
basketball.
Like, what team of NC State was coming? I was expecting the 24-point game NC State guys to come out.
Yeah.
And then there was this whole other team.
State is really weird. State seems like they're like a year. Well, Kevin Keats said this, that they're a year ahead of where he thought they would be. But we were looking at their record and their schedule coming up. State didn't really have a quality win, like a signature win. There's nothing that you can say, oh, well, that's going to make
Auburn
sure they get in the tournament. Auburn's not even ranked anymore. Actually, Auburn's come back to the pack. Their record looks similar to NC State. So, they beat Penn State, I believe, earlier in the year. But Penn State's not ranked either.
But not a bad team. Penn State.
They're not a bad team. They're a solid team. But is that enough to get them into the tournament? They've got Duke and Florida State left on their schedule. Those are only two ranked teams left for NC State. They have, I think it's 6 games left. They probably need to go about 4-2. But even doing that, that's going to put them right around 9 losses, 10 losses with no signature wins.
Yeah. But if they
probably need
Duke
to win somebody in the tournament, in the ACC tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if they now, if they beat Duke, then that changes everything because that would be the biggest win of the year for them.
The ACC is going to have trouble. You know, I mean, you always think right at the beginning of the season, you look at the standings and you say, oh, hey, we're going to get 9 or 10 teams in that tournament. I think we're going to struggle to get 8 teams in this year.
I do,
seriously,
too.
I really do.
I'm looking at the – because there's a cutoff after you get past, like, the first 5 or 6 where it drops considerably. You got Duke right now at 10-1. Then you have Virginia and Carolina both behind them at 9-2. Then you have a group of Louisville, Syracuse, Virginia Tech, Florida State, 8-4, 8-4, 8-4. Florida State, 7-4. Then you get to NC State at 6-6, and that's where I think the cutoff is going to be, right around – NC State, Clemson's 5-6, and then everything else after that. They're basically 500 teams.
Down to Virginia Tech.
So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for up to Virginia Tech.
See, going to struggle to get 8.
Well, and Florida State, I think, will get in. So that's 7.
Florida State will. So I think 7 definitely a big time struggle to get 8 teams in. And I don't even count Syracuse in there. I'm not kidding you. They got a schedule and a half ahead of them. They're going to be struggling. And look at how many losses they have. They're going to go into if they do make the tournament, they're going to have 11 or 12 losses.
Yeah, Syracuse is 17-8. They're 8-4 in the ACC. Syracuse is probably
Duke,
a bubble
Carolina,
team.
Carolina, Virginia, and Louisville ahead of them.
That's who they have left?
Left.
Yeah, that's probably not good.
Oh, wow.
They would have to go 2-2.
So, see, it's odd because they're, like I said, they're in that middle, that third tier of the ACC. Louisville, Syracuse, Virginia Tech, Florida State. I would think all 4 will probably get in, but I think Florida State is going to get in. I'm pretty sure Louisville will get in. Syracuse, Virginia Tech, NC State, they've got some work to do, I think, still, based off their schedules and, like you said, and
Tech out of those
else.
3 have the best shot at it.
Yeah,
they
I think
so, too.
They need
to get their star back. I can't even think of his name. They need to get him
back. The one in the boot.
Yes.
Oh, Justin Robinson?
Because they are a totally different team. They are a very good team with him in the lineup.
Coming up, a little barbershop talk. We're going to begin to build our all-time all-ACC basketball teams, but there's a major catch that will affect how we pick these teams. 336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in with a suggestion of who we should draft. Barbershop talk, next up on The Rundown.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah!
Going to be one big party.
Yeah, I'm on.
Back to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Barbershop Talk brought to you by Haviline Express Lube of Kernersville. Their service facility is independently owned and operated by Mac Allen, providing full service repair and maintenance services. They use the latest diagnostic equipment to guarantee your vehicle is repaired or serviced properly and in a timely fashion. Mac and his team pride themselves on commitment to the local community and providing value-driven service in an inviting, friendly environment. Go see Mac at Haviline Express Lube of Kernersville for all your automotive maintenance needs. You are listening to The Rundown. I am your host, Desmond Johnson. Johnny O, Rod Funderburk in the house. Our producer, Sawyer Dillon. Intern Aaron, man in the control booth. Don't forget our question over on Twitter. Who's going to win tonight between Duke and NC State? Let us know how you feel on that. We'll get a check-in from Aaron here in just a bit to see where that poll is at. This is our barbershop segment for today. It's actually a two-part barbershop segment. I actually had this. I was sleeping and woke up with this idea. All-time ACC teams. We're going to do this draft style, but here are the rules, guys. You can't choose a player or coach's school more than once. You have 5 starters, 3 bench players, and 1 coach. You cannot pick a coach or player that another person has already picked. So if I pick Joe Schmo, John and Rod can no longer pick that player. If Joe Schmo goes to Wake Forest, I can no longer pick a player or coach from Wake Forest. So it eliminates the school and eliminates the player. But you can.
School-wise.
Yeah, school-wise. Okay. But the player or the coach, you can't. They're off the board.
This is good stuff.
So you eliminate the school when you pick the player or coach.
Hey, Johnny, these rules are for you, baby.
I know. I'm going to follow the rules.
I tried to make them simple.
Here thinking, follow the rules.
So we'll start off with our 3 bench players, and we'll do this lightning round around the table. I'm very interested to see how this turns out.
Holy cow. And listen, you guys gave me some information. I can't use Maryland because they're no longer in the ACC.
That's right.
No. Regardless of if they were in the ACC, I can't use them.
That kind of screwed me up.
But we can use you know, the Syracuse and Notre Dame.
Syracuse, Notre Dame, Boston College. Okay. You can go back beyond when they were in the ACC and use their players. So that helps it out a little bit.
We're ready for you, Dez.
All right, Johnson, you go first then.
Okay, I'm going to throw one out there right now. Coming off the bench out of Georgia Tech, Kenny Anderson.
Oh, my gosh. I'm getting screwed from the beginning because that was the guy I was thinking about. I had him in my back pocket. I was like, I bet everyone will forget about Kenny, and I can just throw him in there. Dang. Okay, so Kenny, Georgia Tech. Man.
Kenny, Georgia Tech.
That boy, just a quick little background on him. It was like a rubber band was connected to the ball to his hand, man. That man had some handle.
One of my favorite point guards in the history of the ACC. Lethal Weapon 3.
Yeah.
All right, Rod, you're up.
All right, well, look, coming off the bench, I'm going back to a Notre Dame player by the name of John Paxton.
Wow.
Coming off the bench, baby. Okay. Yeah. But y'all didn't have him in there.
I don't know
you?
Who you're talking about.
Yeah.
No.
You want to go for into the Chicago Bulls?
Hey, he won a championship with the Chicago Bulls, baby.
Wow.
He was the man at Notre Dame.
John Paxton played at Notre Dame?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I didn't know that.
Yes, sir. That's why you got me here, baby. That's why you got me.
I didn't think about it for a minute when you said Bulls. Like, oh, John Paxton. I didn't realize that. Wow, I didn't even know he played at Notre Dame. Man, okay. All right, then.
Made it easy on you, Dez. I made it easy on you.
Let's see.
And by you saying Notre Dame, just gave me an idea.
I know I just gave you something.
I am going to – I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm trying to figure out a game plan here. All right.
We threw him for a loop.
You really did. Right? I think Kenny Anderson was going to be my first pick. I'm going to go – oh, man. All right. I'm going to go to Virginia.
All right.
And I'm going to pick Mr. Ralph Sampson.
Take
him off the board. Yep.
So you're done with Virginia.
I am done with Virginia. But I think I grabbed the one guy that I needed. Virginia. All right.
Grabbing
Ralph
him
Sampson.
Off the bench. He's not even a starter.
I have an idea of who my center starter is going to
be.
So I was able to kind of slot him in there. All right. Round two.
Ooh. Okay. Another bench player for me. Wow. Mm-hmm. We're only on the second one here.
Yeah.
son of a gun. Okay. Well, I'm spitting and sputtering here. I am going to have to say off the bench. That means I can't use that.
It means it can't start. Yeah, that can't be a starter.
Well, what's the problem? Are you trying to figure out?
Johnny, you still alive over there?
Yeah. Well, you threw me off here. I'm sorry. Okay. And I can't use that. All right. I got to go with somebody here.
Yeah, man.
And I'm going to use up my Duke player.
Wow. Okay.
You're going to the Duke bench?
And I'm going to – but see, all right. I'm going to have to say J.J. Redick. We just don't have any other.
J.J. Redick.
J.J. Redick. Okay. So, right. For those
Duke.
Following at home, that means John can no longer pick any other Duke player or Coach K to coach this team because he picked a Duke guy. All right, Rod, you're up.
Coming off the bench, a former championship winner in the pros, of course, out of Clemson, Horace Grant.
Okay.
So he's coming up with some
I just saw his name there, too, because I was like, who could I get from Clemson?
Horace Grant, baby.
That's a good one. Man. All right. I'm not going to put too much thought into this. I'm just going to go with it. I am going to go to Georgia Tech, and I am going to pick Dennis Scott.
Oh,
that's not bad. I had him down.
Dennis Scott, part of Lethal Weapon 3, one of the funnest teams you will have ever seen. But him, Dennis Scott, Brian Oliver, and Kenny Anderson over on John's team. They had a shot to try to dethrone UNLV in the Final Four back in 1990, and they failed. And UNLV went on to play Duke in the national championship game and beat them by 30. But that team, it was literally those three guys scoring and nobody else. There was nobody else that could score, really. And Dennis Scott was their three-point shooting guy. Kenny Anderson was the freshman point guard, and Brian Oliver kind of did a little bit of everything. But, I'm going with Dennis Scott.
Okay. All right,
your third bench player, Johnny O.
Oh, man, okay. I'm going to go old school. Like Rod, you're going a little old school, and that kind of helps on the bench. I like your style. Yeah, I'm going to copy it a little bit. I'm going to go with a Notre Dame guy.
Oh.
Coming off the bench, and some of you probably won't even remember this guy. This guy was a stud, and he had 44 points against UCLA to break their 88-game winning streak back when. Mr. Austin Carr.
Oh, yeah.
He was a point guard that was outstanding in college. Yeah. So I'm using my Notre Dame guy off the bench, Austin Carr.
Nice.
Look him up if you guys don't know who that
guy
is.
Yeah, I'm trying to look him up because I don't know.
He was a stud, I should say.
All right, Rod.
I'm going with the guy who was a diaper dandy. Shout outs to my man Johnny O. He's coming out of Syracuse, Mr. Carmelo Anthony.
Off the bench. Wow. Nice.
Yes, sir. Carmelo Anthony is coming
Cheers
out the
to
bench,
Carmelo.
Baby.
Well done, well done. I'm actually scrolling through Syracuse's team right now to see if there's somebody that I'm forgetting. I was kind of hoping everybody would leave Carmelo alone for a little bit.
I can't use him.
You can't use any player that you've heard named.
Okay.
Yep. So you can't
stole him right out.
So you can't get Carmelo. Well, you would have been able to pick him anyway, because didn't you pick a Syracuse player already?
Not yet.
Oh, no. Yeah. So he kind of told he stole him for you. Yeah.
That's
why I was like, that's where the strategy comes in, because
Carmelo's coming off the bench.
Because you might be thinking he's going to be a starter, but you've got to get him. So maybe you got to put him on your bench.
He's got Ralph Sampson off the bench.
That's why he was the first pick I had for that same logic. I was like, all right, well, I need him, and he ain't going to be there when I come back around. Let me just get him right now. So. Man, Carmelo was a good pick. My third pick, I need to think out the box here. I need to think of a school that no one's really thinking about. I'm trying to think. I'm going to go Wake Forest, and I'm going to get Chris Paul.
Chris Paul coming off the bench.
Yep. So I've got Ralph Sampson, Chris Paul, and Dennis Scott on my bench. And I can't. And I've used Virginia, Georgia Tech, and Wake Forest. I'm actually pretty proud of myself. I'm doing this the way I kind of thought it would, the way I was hoping it would break down when I was thinking about it. Now, coaches. You got to pick coaches.
Okay. This is only because of strategy.
Right.
To hold off for our starters, because you can't, the whole school thing. And I can't think of his first name. I got it. Okay. This one might surprise you guys. And you're going to say, oh, no. Okay, now listen. I'm just going to say his name first. Gary Williams. And what are you guys going to say?
Maryland.
Okay, sorry. He coached at Boston College, He coached at Boston College as well.
Cool. Well
Gary
done.
Williams is my coach, and he was a maniac.
Well done.
But that's he was with BC good. Back in the 80s, before Maryland.
Cool.
Rod?
I'm going to go with the Naismith Men's College Coach of the Year Award winner. And he also won the Naismith's Outstanding Contributor to Men's Basketball. A gentleman out of Georgia Tech by the name of Bobby Crimmins.
Yes. Ooh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Done with Georgia Tech?
Yeah.
You guys
took everybody to Georgia Tech. There's nobody left but Bobby.
Yeah, pretty much. There's Mark Price was still hanging out there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I thought about
that's
taking him as the point guard. I was like, nah, I get that one.
Well, I've got John Paxson as a point guard. So.
There you go.
I'm sweating over here trying to figure this thing out, man.
I'm going to go with a coach who has won over 1,000 games. He's coached for over 40 years.
Cool.
Five Final Fours. He's got a natty. 10-time conference champ. I'm going to go with Jim Boeheim.
Yes.
Jim Boeheim. Nice.
And I did that because you already took the player I know John wanted, and you already picked a coach, so you can't get him. So I'm like, okay, I waited to see how that was going to go.
Well done.
But yeah, Jim Boeheim, can't go wrong there. I mean, he's helped coach the Olympic team, 33 years in the NCAA tournament, 60 wins in the NCAA tournament. He's been, when did he start coaching at Syracuse?
Oh, he's been at Syracuse since he was a player.
It says 66 is when he graduated, I think, alma mater.
And then he was graduate assistant, and then he was assistant coach, and all in line, and then he took over. So he's been there over 50 years.
Wow.
Man.
Isn't
you think
amazing?
You think he's still going to coach next year?
Yeah, until his son. His son is actually playing very well.
Huh.
His freshman son.
Didn't so he just turn? Well, he'll turn
74.
No Division I coach has ever coached past the age of 75. Yeah. I didn't know that until this week. I was this week years old.
And that was the guy from DePaul.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I mean, even legends like Adolph Rupp got forced into retirement by the state of Kentucky because he was a state employee. Dean Smith stopped, I think, at 69.
Yeah. He just didn't want to come back anymore. Dean Smith was done.
He was done. I mean, he'd done it all. I think Don Chaney, Temple, I think he was close to 70.
Oh, yeah. He was.
Wooden was at 70 when he stopped. So
John,
usually it's right
John
around now.
John Chaney started to lose it a little bit toward his end.
I remember him and Rick Pitino getting mad at Calipari, that's right. Yeah.
Calipari, yeah.
Getting shouting matches with
I'll
each
kill
other.
You.
Yeah. Charging the stage and whatever. Okay, let's go around quick and just review who we have so far. I have Ralph Sampson, Dennis Scott, Chris Paul on my bench, and Jim Boeheim is my coach. John?
I went with Kenny Anderson, Georgia Tech, J.J. Redick, Duke, Austin Carr, Notre Dame, and Gary Williams out of Boston College.
Not bad.
Good deal.
You got it, Ron.
I went with John Paxton out of Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish. Went with Horace Grant from the Tigers of Clemson. And Carmelo Anthony from Syracuse. And then, of course, Bobby Crimmins, the head coach of Georgia Tech.
So we're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to this and do our starters in a little bit. That actually went faster than I expected and left us with a little bit of time. We're going to go ahead and leak over into the Hornets coverage, NBA coverage here. Charlotte hosting the NBA All-Star Game. Got two Hornets in action tonight. Miles Bridges is actually in the slam dunk contest. And we have Kemba Walker in the three-point shootout contest. And actually, now that I think about it, this might be a good time to try to reach him. SportsCenter Monthly's very own Haskell Shelton. I don't know how he was able to manage this because I couldn't even get credentials for the station. But he is at All-Star Weekend right now at All-Star Practice. And Sawyer, I'm going to send you Haskell's phone number to give him a quick call. I told him that we would possibly be giving him a call this morning to check in with us. And
Charlotte is buzzing, man. They got all these celebrities hanging out. What a cool.
Oh, yeah. They did first take down there yesterday with
They've
Stephen
A.
and Molly and those guys. So they were down there having fun.
I would have went just to go see Molly.
Oh, man. Whoa. She's something else, isn't she?
Let me ask you guys a question about while we got the time and while Sawyer's trying to get
Desmond, open up to us, man. You can ask us whatever you want to.
The stuff with Stephen A., we didn't really get a chance to touch it last week. And he was legit sick. I remember him being sick on air before he ended up taking some time off. But the last day he was on was that whole day with the whole Dwayne Haskins thing.
Right.
He was saying that he thought he was a more of a running quarterback. Yeah. Come to find out, Dwayne Haskins had thrown for like 5,000 yards and then only ran for like 100 or something like the whole year. What do you think about first take not even addressing that at all? I don't think they addressed it once when he came back this week, because he was out most of the first half this week, came back Thursday and Friday when they went to Charlotte. So he missed 3 days immediately after that, kind of let it die down on Twitter and everything. Came back, didn't mention it at all, and they haven't mentioned it at all, and they just kept going. Do you think they should have mentioned it, or do you think they handled it the right way and just kept it moving?
I think they should have mentioned it at least. I mean, you know, it is just his opinion, and, you know, obviously it was a wrong one, but, I mean, he's, you know, he's usually spot on with most of this stuff, but that was just off the wall.
It was weird.
He had no idea what he was saying at the time.
Yeah, he was probably under some NyQuil probably at the time, I'm sure. Because he was
already feeling bad. He might have been medicated.
He's feeling bad. Want
to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think Sawyer's got Haskell on the line now. Sports Com Monthly's very own Haskell Shelton checking in from Charlotte, North Carolina, as he somehow snuck into the gym for all-star practice. Haskell, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, we are just live here at Media Day, getting ready for Bradley Beal to step up to the podium. But we've been watching Steph Curry is still on right now. And the media surrounding Steph is probably at least three times as large as any draw so far. We haven't seen LeBron come out yet.
Wow.
But certainly even bigger than Kemba. So
the
world media is showcasing Charlotte right now.
Wow.
It's Steph's weekend, I bet.
Do you think we were having this conversation throughout the week? Normally in NBA All-Star games, the players kind of conspire to kind of help whoever the host player win the MVP. Do you think that that's going to go on this weekend with the players trying to get Kemba MVP?
I think that's a possibility. If Kemba wins the three-point contest, I'm not sure how important the MVP would be after that. But, you know, I think it appears to be, for all intents and purposes, from what I'm gathering, at least at Media Day, Steph's stage, yep. Dwarfing Kemba, which is unusual. But so I would probably speculate no on that theory. If anything, I think it's Steph's crowd. He's by far the most popular guy here today.
That's crazy that and I got to give a shout out to Josh Graham because he mentioned that he thought there'd be more Steph Curry jerseys out in the crowd than Kemba Walker. Yeah. And I was adamant that no, that Charlotte will show out. This is Kemba's weekend. They'll make sure Kemba feels at home, that kind of thing. But it sounds like Josh might have been right. And no, that
Steph owns Charlotte, man.
Oh yeah, he grew up here. I mean, he's a North Carolina kid. His dad played, you know, for Charlotte. So, you know, he's like our own.
And his dad still is announcing for Charlotte.
That's right.
The Currys are
royalty, basically. So Haskell, what's the itinerary for you for the rest of the day after practice is over? What are you going to be getting into?
Well, we're currently trying to get into some live events. Michael Jordan's got a brand launch uptown. They've actually taken over the art museum and made it into a Nike shoe exhibit. So we're taking a peek at trying to hop out to that. And to Johnny O's point, Seth Curry actually was quite the media draw here today. So I think between his entrance in the three-point shootout this evening and also being a hometown guy, I know I posted on my Twitter handle, Seth, if you go way, way back to his freshman year at Liberty, dropped 41 points on High Point U at the Millis Center. I'll never forget that game shortly before he transferred to Duke. So it was interesting. That was the first time I'd seen Seth in person since that day.
Do you? Go ahead. I'm sorry, I was going to say, who do you think is going to win the three-point shootout this year? Because there's actually a number of names in it. Devin Booker's the defending champ. The Curry brothers are in it. Danny Green. You've got Kemba Walker, the hometown favorite. Damian Lillard's in it. Buddy Hield. Do you think there's a particular favorite in that contest, or you think it's going to be a Curry brother?
No, I think there's probably from what I'm witnessing here, I think that the TNTs and NBA TVs of the world will certainly be all in on the Curry action because it's going to draw ratings. But a couple of weeks ago, I saw the Suns from media credentials at the Hornets game and saw Devin Booker drain 18 three-pointers in a row in practice.
Jeez.
And so Devin would be my pick to click. I think he certainly feels comfortable with the court. And I would be picking Devin Booker back to back. The last time that happened was Johnny O's man crush Jason Capono went in 2008.
I haven't heard that name in like a decade.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about him. Jeez. Oh, that's good stuff.
And then also the slam dunk contest tonight. I was surprised. I've only seen four contestants: Miles Bridges, Wake Forest's own John Collins from the Hawks. Oof. Hamidou Diallo from the Thunder, and Dennis Smith Jr. From NC State, now with the Knicks. Do you think Miles Bridges is the favorite in that?
No, Miles actually is the Vegas odds third favorite. Dennis Smith is actually the favorite to win tonight.
Wow.
But I've got to go with my guy Miles. He posted some Twitter views of some of his dunks last night, and quite frankly, they were extraordinarily weak. I think he's... he's rope-a-doping us for a big performance tonight. I think Miles is going to bring out some special stops. And I can't go against my Michigan guy, former Saginaw Valley League alumni from Michigan. So I'm going to pick Miles to win it all.
Haskey, John Collins has a good chance of winning that. That dude can jump out of the gym, and I bet you he's got a few things up his sleeve.
Absolutely, yeah. I have not seen him here today so far, but after the media session, they'll break out for the player practice. And I'm sure I'll be posting some content to the @HaskDog Twitter handle, or you could look up hashtag WSJS Sports Hub or Sports Carolina Monthly, and I'll definitely have whatever content I can get on him.
Haskey,
I think there's some wild cards in the dunk contest for sure tonight.
Back to the Curry family, is there a little buzz going on in Charlotte? Did you see his mother hit a half-court shot yesterday?
What?
I did see that. I haven't seen the video, but his mom was an outstanding college athlete. If I recall, she was a college volleyball player.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. She threw it underhand, one hand underhand shot from half court, nothing but net.
Something's going on with that family. They keep throwing these shots off from everywhere.
Good gracious.
Well, hey, Haskell, thanks for checking in with this man. We'll be looking for updates and everything on Twitter from you and more content from you from sportscommonmonthly.com.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Pesky.
So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, as you've heard, Charlotte is hosting the NBA All-Star Game. We'll go through who we think might win the slam dunk contest and three-point shootout tonight. Plus, what is the greatest slam dunk contest ever? We'll discuss that as well. NBA action. We catch up next on All-Star Weekend edition of The Rundown.
Okay, let's go.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Latest coverage of ACC sports, Panthers, Hornets, high school, NASCAR, and much more. Visit sportscarolinamonthly.com. From coverage of your favorite local teams, mid-majors, exclusive stories from our staff of writers, audio, video content, and more. sportscarolinamonthly.com, your source for Carolina sports. Follow us on Twitter at sportscarolina1 or on Facebook at facebook.com/sportscarolinamonthly. And don't miss news daily. That is sportscarolinamonthly.com. The Hornets remaining entire season will be broadcasted by the Sports Hub, including playoffs if they make it in. WSGS Sports Hub is your new exclusive home in the Triad for Charlotte Hornets basketball. You are listening to The Rundown. Desmond Johnson, Johnny O, Rod Funderburk in the house, and we are on an All-Star weekend here in the in Charlotte in the Queen City. And we had just heard from SCM contributor Haskell Shelton, who was in Charlotte at All-Star weekend during their media session, and they're about to have a practice there. So shout out to Haskell for sneaking in the gym and getting some critical information in back to The Rundown. Real quick, guys, slam dunk contest. Miles Bridges from the Hornets, John Collins from the Hawks, Hamidou Diallo from the Thunder, and Dennis Smith Jr. from the Knicks are the four contestants in the slam dunk contest. I don't know why they only have four contestants.
Yeah, that seems low.
But, yeah, it's very low.
And I don't know if any of those four, I'm not really sure. Now, Dennis Smith Jr.'s got bunnies. He's got hops. He can jump. So and I've seen him do some things. So
Dennis Smith is – I was so mad last year when he, like – I think he missed, like, his first two dunks and was out first round.
Right.
The things he was doing, he was getting so much more air than everyone else. It was like, wow. He did I want to see what this guy can do, and I'm glad he's back.
He did, like, a 360 or something the other night in the game for a dunk, like, on a breakaway. Like, he – and Dennis Smith's only, what, like, 6'1", 6'2"?
Yeah, his in-game dunks are insane.
Yeah, so –
thinking the dunk contest should be kind of close.
He and Haskell said that he's the favorite in Vegas to win this, but we've seen Miles Bridges do some things this year too. Mm-hmm. His are more like power dunks.
Monster dunks.
Yeah, his are like come out of nowhere, jump over somebody type of dunk. I haven't seen Miles do anything like, you know, like between the legs or anything crazy.
John Collins.
I'm partial to John Collins, man. He can jump. He throws it down with fury.
Did you see
him.
The alley-oop thrown to him on, I guess, what, Thursday night? LU from the little guard there for Atlanta throws it up there. He catches it, does a 180 with the LU and throws it down. Yeah. I'm picking him. I think he's going to
like
win
him.
This thing.
Who, John Collins?
Yeah, yes. John Collins, he can dunk, man. He can jump. He has some hops.
And he's turning into a serious NBA player. That team is going to be pretty good once they get a little more experience.
Trae Young.
Yeah, Trae Young's down there. Yes.
And they're probably going to get a high draft pick this year. If like somebody like R.J. Barrett ends up on the Hawks, that's not a bad three to Collins, Barrett, and Trae Young. Could work with that.
I agree with Sawyer, though. That Dennis Smith, he might come up with some if he makes them this year, because he's very creative.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to check this out. This is on TNT tonight. The three-point shootout has more contestants. You've got Devin Booker. He's the defending champion, Phoenix Suns. Seth Curry from the Trailblazers, Steph Curry from the Warriors, Danny Green from the Raptors, Joe Harris from the Nets, Buddy Hield from the Sacramento Kings, Damian Lillard from the Trailblazers, Chris Middleton, the Bucks, Dirk Nowitzki is in this from the Mavericks,
I love it.
And
Dirk's
Kemba
playing.
Walker. So
that's a lineup right
that,
there.
That is a lineup.
Man. Those are some shit. And I will be watching that.
I was hoping Kemba was going to be able to win this, but then I was like, well, both Currys are in this. Devin Booker's the defending champ in this, and Devin Booker ain't no joke, man, in terms of like being a shooter.
And Danny Green can get hot.
Danny Green is known for this. Sentimentally, I kind of want Dirk to win it.
So do I.
You know?
I was saying, I'm looking at that, and, you know, I mean, if he's, you know, I'm sure he can still shoot it. I mean,
oh, yeah. Just be, you know. I'm sure he could get out there and do it. But see,
it'll come
I
down
shouldn't
to
say sentimentally
Steph.
I want Dirk to win because I really want Kemba to win. I want Kemba to win a three-point contest just so Charlotte's got something to be proud of this weekend because the All-Star game on Sunday is going to be so loaded that because of the format and it's not East versus West anymore, I don't know if Kemba would have had the same amount of ability to shine if it was East versus West. Because now he's going to be on a team with Russell. I think not Westbrook. I haven't looked at the teams yet lately.
Not to change the conversation, but I don't think Kemba Walker is going to be a Hornet next year.
You don't think so?
I think something's going to happen at the end of this year.
Man, you're breaking hearts all over the triad.
Oh, trust me,
right
I want him.
If
to
he
be,
does, but. Well, here's the thing: if he does, he's going to be leaving like $60 million on the table if he leaves. So if he leaves, it better be for. A really good reason.
It might be for one of these championship
teams. I think to the Lakers.
The only thing Charlotte's going to have to be proud of happened last night when the home celebrity team won their game.
Who was on the home team?
Just you know, a couple of people from North Carolina, like Steve Smith.
Oh man, I hope that's not the highlight of Charlotte's weekend.
I mean, it's hard to pick against Steph Curry in the three-point shooting competition.
That's kind of where I'm at too. Looking at this list, the first name that stands out to me is Steph Curry. Like, okay, Steph's
and
in this.
Steph's probably going to win it.
Yeah, the crowd's going to be behind him because it's Charlotte.
Seth Curry's also really good. His brother is also.
Yeah, absolutely.
But is Steph Curry not the greatest shooter or arguably the greatest shooter in NBA history?
Absolutely.
I say between him and Klay Thompson, it's one or the other.
Yeah. But I could see Seth winning it. There's no competition like going against your brother.
I don't know if you guys saw where Seth Curry and Doc Rivers' daughter actually got married or engaged.
Really? So. Know that
the Rivers and Curry's blending families.
Get your roster spot there. Nice.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. So we'll probably see Seth Curry in a Clippers uniform here by next year, I would think.
Look out for Buddy Hield. He might be the sleeper.
I saw his name there, and I was like, Buddy. Huh, I almost forgot about Buddy Hield.
I
still
like that dude, man.
He's on the Kings. There's a lot of young guys on the Kings.
The Kings are good.
They really will be. Are. I think they keep their core together. They can be really good. They've drafted fairly well, I think, the past 3-4 years. Chris Middleton was interesting to me. I didn't realize he was a three-point shooter.
Yeah.
But he's sitting on this list.
You're right about Danny Green. Boy, once he
Danny Green's interesting.
It's like a string, man. He's an interesting pick.
I wanted to ask this question during this segment, too, because I started thinking about this and going back and watching some of them. What year was your favorite year of the slam dunk contest?
No question. It was the Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon.
That's my personal favorite. Yeah. That's 2016, Aaron Gordon versus Zach LaVine.
Mine's still the year 2000. I'm sorry.
Vinsanity? Yes, Vince Carter?
When he did all kinds of nonsense.
I mean, he had Tracy McGrady out there who bounced the ball.
He didn't even know what he was going to do. Like, when he came into it, he was kind of doing it on the fly. So all those dunks were, like, first-time type dunks for Vince, and he made him look like he'd been practicing them in his driveway, all year.
Vinsanity's the greatest dunker I've ever seen.
I mean, to me, he added a little bit of a revolutionary time frame to
in-game and out
contest.
Of game.
Yeah. Now, the Aaron Gordon-Zach LaVine contest, though.
That was crazy.
That one, I wish that was still going on right now. Like, it felt like it was never going to end because they just kept topping each other. I've never seen a person jump from the foul line, put the ball between their legs, and tomahawk slam it.
It looked like they were playing on an 8-foot rim.
Yeah. Aaron Gordon, man. I don't know where all this is during the games because he doesn't show this kind of stuff during the games that I'm aware of, but during that slam dunk contest, I bet most people know who he is because of that slam dunk contest, and he didn't even win it. He lost the contest.
Who's he with, the Magic?
Yeah, he's with Orlando. That's the one that is the craziest dunk I've ever seen. Aaron Gordon jumping over the Orlando Magic mascot on a hoverboard while it's twirling, while it's doing a 360, and he grabbed. Was that the one where
he
grabbed
cradle
it?
Like 360? That kind
like,
of
like yeah. Then, no,
the other one was where he was just holding it.
Yeah, that's still, the one I'm thinking of. Where he had the guy on the hoverboard, the mascot, and he's just holding the ball. And Zach LaVine, well, not Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon jumps with his right arm, takes the ball off the guy's hand. Puts it underneath like his butt, like while he's in the air, so his feet are like up where he is.
That's hang time.
Grabs it with his left and then dunks it. Like I can't even describe it to give it justice, but like when you see it, you're just like, that's not physically possible. You're not supposed to be able to put a basketball underneath your legs the way he did. Like he sat on it almost and then dunked it. And then Zach LaVine topped that with
the free throw line, windmill or something?
He did like a windmill 360. Well, no, it was a windmill from the free throw line. He took off from the free throw line and did a windmill dunk, which is that's physically impossible to do too. He ended up topping that by doing the one between his legs from the foul line.
Those contests are the most recent, but these three, real quick, are worth mentioning. Blake Griffin jumping over the car was pretty
special. That was pretty iconic. Special. Yeah, pretty cool. That was pretty iconic.
Now, here's one from way back. Probably mid-90s. When D. Brown pumped up the sneaks, I thought that was pretty cool.
I remember being a kid and doing that dunk on a, you know, I don't know if they still have them, but the adjustable goals where you could, you know, make it like 5 foot tall or whatever keep raising them up. We would have like neighborhood slam dunk contests and have the goal down to like 6 feet or whatever. And everybody would do the D. Brown where you put your, basically like dabbing, like putting your arm over your head and do it. But yeah, I remember that, him doing the pump. And
the other one, let's not forget, Spud Webb.
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
1986.
5 foot what?
I think it was 5'6".
Yeah, something
doing
like that.
And he was going against Dominique in that contest. Gosh. So it was him versus his teammate, Dominique Wilkins, who had already been kind of screwed out of a contest. Well, it would be later. In 88, Jordan versus Wilkins. I think that was in Chicago.
That was good.
And that was just two guys going. I mean, like those, the dunks that they were doing in that contest are iconic. Jordan from the baseline, the kiss the rim, and then Jordan from the foul line. Dominique was just power, man. He was just
He was.
He kind of, I've been trying to find somebody to compare Zion Williamson to, and he's parts of people. I would throw Dominique in there too, because I've been saying Sean Kemp for 2 weeks, but. He's a little bit more like Dominique than Sean Kemp in terms of like
style,
fluidity. Yeah, like Dominique was power, but he was like, he was smooth with it. Like he could get to his footwork and everything. He was just really smooth with it. Now, neither one of them, Sean Kemp or Dominique Wilkins, are 6'7", 285. That's left tackle size. I mean, like literally, Dabo Sweeney was talking about Zion earlier this week about where he would put him in the offense or defense. I'm sticking him at left tackle, and I'm protecting my quarterback for the next 15 years because he can guard with his feet. 6'7", 285?
Yeah.
That's NFL-size left tackle. Yeah. I mean, literally.
Gamble said he would put him at quarterback.
I know, and run wildcat with him, which might not be a bad idea, too. I got 2000 slam dunk contest, Vinsanity. And keep in mind, they didn't have the slam dunk contest for like 2 years before that contest. Because people stopped entering it. Nobody wanted to be in it really anymore. I think before that, the last one was like 97, and I think it was Kobe Bryant that won it, his rookie year.
Why was it that LeBron was never in a dunk contest, right?
Nope, never entered.
I mean, does anybody ever figure out why he had never entered any of the contests, especially dunk contests?
He used to say why. I can't remember what his reasoning was. Then he got to a point where he was too old, I guess, to do it.
Yeah. LeBron
doesn't really do like crazy dunks. All of his stuff is power and height, if you really think about it.
I mean, it is, but he has so much athleticism and he can jump until I'm sure he could create some things.
LeBron, maybe he didn't want to do something like that and be worried that he might lose it. Because there's other guys out there that I think are better dunkers than LeBron. And if he's chasing the GOAT, one of the things you probably need to notch off the resume is slam dunk contest winner.
Yeah.
That was actually a conversation I was going to get into this week, and I held it off. The LeBron Jordan stuff that keeps coming around. My take on it was, what about Kobe Bryant? Nobody ever brings up Kobe Bryant in this discussion. Where does he fall in your top 10? And that might be something we do barbershop talk next week. Aaron,
two things about what you just mentioned about where Kobe falls in that GOAT argument, and then the dunk competition thing. I think. To both of your point, yours and Johnny O's, Dez, where there used to be, like you said, these iconic moments where you had Jordan versus Dominique and even Spud Webb and Dominique. You used to have in-game talent that come and participate in the dunk contest. And now, where you said earlier, you said you don't know where the stuff goes for Aaron Gordon in-game. I think that's part of the allure that the dunk contest used to have. You had current in-game NBA superstars participating in a dunk contest. And now you have guys that if you're a casual fan, you probably never heard of these guys are participating in a dunk contest.
And that
kind of takes away from it. Like, who are these guys? You know what I mean?
See, there's a lot of people that didn't even watch the 2016 slam dunk contest, who me and Sawyer were saying is probably the best one we've seen. Aaron Gordon versus Zach LaVine. if you probably you may not have even seen it, you know, because you don't know who they are. Exactly. But I promise you, if you go to YouTube and Google it and watch it, you will come away from it. This was the best slam dunk contest I've ever seen. Like the panel was like Kenny Smith and I think Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas were out there, and like it got to the point where like they were someone would complete a dunk and like the judges would like stand up and like crawl over the table and like like they were losing their minds over, because some of these dunks I had never seen before, and I thought I'd seen pretty much everything, and these guys turned it out. And that was Zach LaVine's, I think it was his second one, right? Because didn't he win the year before, or was it the year after he won again?
He won it again the year after.
The year, and that one wasn't as good. And I don't think Aaron Gordon was in the second one, was he?
I think he,
or he went out early or something. But yeah, Zach LaVine's a two-time winner, but Zach LaVine's not a household name. And then he got hurt after that, and he doesn't. I don't know if he can jump the same way that he was before. People forget like Jason Richardson, 2002, 3 and 4. I think he won.
How about give some love to Superman, Dwight Howard?
Oh, Dwight Howard, yeah.
Dwight Howard.
Didn't he, from what I remember, didn't he dunk on two different baskets at the same time?
Yeah, he had two goals out there, and he dunked on both of them at once.
Yep.
And then he put a sticker of his face at the top of the backboard.
Yeah.
He does have funny personality.
He had him raise the goal to 12 feet, and he dunked on that. I do remember that. And then he did the one.
And he had the cape on.
Yeah, the cape where he didn't even dunk it. He just kind of jumped up like Superman and threw it in, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
That was a weird contest because I can't remember whoever he beat in that. I don't remember anybody else in that contest.
But that second thing, what you were mentioning about the GOAT conversation.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's fine with Jordan, Kobe, and LeBron. I think the reason why Kobe kind of gets lost in translation is because his game mirrored Jordan's.
It did.
It's pretty much like if you're into music, it's like the Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan conversation. Like, you can't be better than the guy you're emulating.
Well, Aaron coming in here with some heat today.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Kobe correct. Was all about Jordan. He even talked like him, interviewed like him, everything. I mean,
his mannerisms, everything.
Walked like him.
There's a video on YouTube that's crazy that it's Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, and somebody went and edited out when you see Jordan do the fadeaway jumper, like, backing somebody down and doing his fadeaway. Kobe does it exactly the same way. Yeah. Arms are moving the same way. The dribble's the same. Their jumpers are the same. Kobe's one of my top five favorite players of all time.
Definitely.
And we'll probably get into that a little bit deeper next week in terms of that Kobe debate, because I am curious as to where he's almost disappeared in terms of like people's conversations about where he ranks. It's become LeBron Jordan.
But Shaq keeps bringing him up.
Yeah, Shaq brings
Kobe,
him up.
Don't forget about Kobe.
Yeah, don't forget about Kobe.
Yeah.
Kobe's really good.
So I actually got to look it up. So LaVine won the 2015, which was with like Oladipo and a couple other guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember that one.
Was the Aaron Gordon. But looked up why LeBron would never do the dunk contest, and he said, if I decided I wanted to do it, then I would have to win it, or else it would be a waste of my night. And he was like, I really don't have anything to gain from doing it. So I guess that just means, like, I think I guess maybe he's worried about getting hurt or just
sounds
be
scared.
Like, you know.
He sounds scared to me. Yeah. I mean, I love you, LeBron. Yeah. But he sounds scared. He sounds like, well, only way I can do it is if I know that I'm going to win. So basically he's saying the only way I'm going to do it is if I know I'm going to be going against John Collins, Hamidou Diallo, and Miles Bridges or something like that, you know. Yeah. Or wouldn't it have been good to have, like, a LeBron versus Kobe slam dunk contest
awesome.
Or something
great.
With the both kind of in their primes. Like, I mean, it had to been back like 2007, 2008, somewhere in there. Yeah. Lakers were winning, Celtics were still winning. LeBron hadn't ascended yet, but he was already probably the biggest star in the game. That Aaron hit a very great point that the contest in the late 80s were basically about the two stars in it, whether it was Jordan and Wilkins or Wilkins and that contest made Spud Webb pretty much to me. I mean, in terms of on a pro level, people around here, I mean, he went to NC State, everybody knew who he was around here, but nobody knew he could do all that
nationally. Everyone talks about him now,
and this did help Aaron Gordon's career and Zach LaVine to a degree, because I knew of Aaron Gordon. I know he went to Arizona, and he was only 1 year there anyway, but he kind of went to Orlando and got lost there. Nobody really knew what he was doing. Then the slam dunk contest happened, and I personally think Aaron Gordon should have won it from the dunks that he did.
Yeah, and I didn't know either one of those guys until I saw him in a dunk contest.
Go look it up. Have you ever seen this contest before?
I did.
Okay.
No, so absolutely.
It's to me, it's just like the most creative one. and it's not lopsided. Both guys are just really putting it in.
Well, yeah, the fact was, like, I think they had, like, they both had 350s in a row.
Right,
so
yeah.
So it's like, I mean,
it just kept going.
They both, yeah. Like, Aaron Gordon probably had the better dunks, but also Zach LaVine's was also a 50. So it's like, well,
I mean, yeah, I'm saying it kept it up,
and it was like, well,
I'm saying it like, I'm saying like jumping from the free throw line and putting the ball between your legs and completing it is an easy task, yeah. Or something. like just watching that happen, it's like, oh my gosh, how is this even possible? So to me, I think that's probably one of the better dunk contests that we've had.
Here's a quick question: what if you had to make a choice tonight to either watch the 3-point shootout or that slam dunk contest, which one would you watch? I would rather watch the 3-point.
Yeah, I think just looking at the list, probably a 3-point shootout, because I'm not sure what's going to happen in the slam dunk contest. I mean, maybe it surprises me because I didn't know going into Gordon and LaVine that it was going to be the way it was. So I don't know. We'll find out. But yeah, probably the 3-point shooting contest.
What about these guys, Aaron?
Which would you rather watch, the 3-point shooting contest or the dunk contest?
I think 3-point shootout. Yeah. I think that the great slam dunk contest from last year was kind of an aberration. I honestly think the slam dunk contest might be in trouble. They might be thinking of getting rid of it again.
And the 3-point shot is the most popular shot in basketball.
It is. Especially everybody's today. Doing it.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm going with the dunk contest. I can watch the Warriors play and make, 80% of
that. That's true. I forgot Sawyer's a Warriors fan. So every contest is a 3-point shootout. Yeah. So coming up, we are going to complete our all-time All-ACC teams. Fellas, I hope you guys have been brainstorming on how you're going to do this, because now it's going to get really dirty. We need to pick starters, and someone's feelings are going to get hurt. You can't use more than one player or coach per school. We'll pick our starters in round two of Barbershop Talk. And actually, Sawyer, on our hotkeys, there's a buzzer on one of the pages. I'm going to need you to use that and time us so we can actually get through this effectively. So we're going to pick our starters for our all-time ACC teams next in the rundown.
What's up, dog?
Think about it.
A party?
Are we having a party? Yeah!
Yeah! Back to the rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Dash fans, BB&T Ballpark turns 10 this season. Join the Dash in celebrating a decade of fun by reserving your tickets in advance. The Winston-Salem Dash's home slate begins on Thursday, April the 11th. Fans can purchase single-game tickets for as low as $8 by calling 336-714-2287 or visit WinstonSalemDash.com. You are listening to The Rundown. I am your host, Desmond Johnson. Johnny O, Rod Funderburk in the house, Sawyer Dillon, our producer. And I'm coming back to Aaron, intern Aaron here, to get a checkup on our poll of the day up on Twitter. And you can still vote on this between Duke and NC State tonight, who the public thinks are going to win. And do we have any results on that poll, Aaron?
Yeah, see if I can get it pulled up for you here.
Okay.
Looks like.
And meanwhile, while he's doing that, I'm poking around. If you go to WSGS Sports Hub's Twitter account, you can actually see, as Haskell Shelton, I'm scrolling through, and he's posting some pictures right now. he says, Kyle Lowry says Sports Carolina Monthly is premier journalism in NC, from his lips to God's ears. I don't know what's going on. Looks like he's got pictures of Blake Griffin, Steph Curry's there, Giannis. So he's out there definitely doing his thing. And it looks like LeBron just showed up too. Yeah, LeBron just showed up in there. So definitely following Haskell there. You got some poll results for us?
Overwhelmingly, Duke favored to win on our Sports Hub poll, 89%.
Oof.
Good gracious.
No love for the Wolfpack.
Not at all.
What'd you think was going to happen?
I don't know. I was hoping some Wolfpack fans would be, like, hopeful after watching the Louisville game.
No, people are smart.
Yeah, they really are. They're smart, and I give them credit for it. This is at Cameron, too, so.
Oh, it's at Cameron?
Yeah, it might get ugly.
Oh, God, yeah.
it might get real ugly.
I mean, the Wolfpack have no hope at all. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, wouldn't it be vintage NC State for them to go into Cameron and beat Duke because no one is expecting them to beat them? Wouldn't that be something NC State would do?
But, I mean, these guys have had a game where they scored 10 points and a half, 24 points for the whole game.
That's a good point.
I got a feeling that Duke is going to hand it to them.
Yeah, it feels like NC State's in the wrong place at the wrong time.
It's not even going to be pretty. And I'm sure Coach K gave him a cussing out for that Louisville almost meltdown that they had.
Man, I don't know. I don't know if K is – I don't know if he laid into him.
Because I think he would. He was just saying – he was telling them, you know, we're going to win this game. Like, we're down 23. Well, we're going to win this game. And they all believed him.
He said he had him in the huddle and telling the guys – hey, I don't coach a bunch of losers. Yeah, right. I coach winners. So yeah. I could see Coach laying it into him. It has in, you know, at practice when the doors are closed, there's nobody there. And like, hey, what the heck is your problem? I could see that happening.
They looked like, I mean, people were saying they weren't, but they had their heads hanging like they most did. Of that game. They looked like they looked shell-shocked. So
you know what? I'm sorry. Even Coach K on the bench, you know, he was kind of slouched back when they were getting beat.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't
he didn't know what to do
either.
To reach him. Yeah, so, I mean, it's...
totally different team in the last 9 minutes.
All right, so let's...
Yeah, I don't see that happening to them again, especially not against NC State at home.
Now, I could see them losing to Carolina, but it ain't going to be like that. It ain't going to be like 23 points or anything crazy.
Yeah, and then you're talking about the Cameron crazies getting involved. You know how that can be in there. Yeah. Good Lord.
The Sports Hub Triad's very own Josh Graham will be... He's doing a doubleheader today. He's going to be at Wake Forest, North Carolina, in Winston. That's a noon tip-off. And then after he gets interviews from the coaches and players or whatnot, he's going to hit the road, drive to Durham for Duke NC State at 6 o'clock and do the same thing. So he's got a full day, and we'll have all of that on Monday on the drive 3 to 6 p.m. for you on the Sports Hub. Let's get into our starters for our all-time ACC teams. Sawyer is equipped with a stopwatch so that we can keep this on track. I told him to put a minute on the clock. When the minute is up, you're going to hear this noise to let you know that your time is up. And at that point, you got to pick somebody. So, John, you're our first guinea pig with this experiment. We're going to see how this works out. And Sawyer, you can go ahead and start the clock. 3, 2, 1, and John, you're on the clock.
Well, I'm okay at the beginning here. It's going to be those last two or three that's going to be tough. I'm going to go with my Syracuse. I'm going to use my Syracuse pick right now.
Where this is going to come from here.
You.
And I'm having trouble between two. I mean, they're both studs. They are both studs. And I don't want – can I tell you the two, and then I'm going to pick one? Is that against the rules?
Just pick one, because somebody might pick the other one.
All right.
Or wait.
Johnny, what, you trying to break the rules again?
My starter. I mean,
good Lord.
Because this is a starter. Derek Coleman, Syracuse University.
Okay. Nice.
Player of the year, his senior year. Could have went in the NBA draft in his junior year and surprisingly came back. Was a player of the year, national player of the year, and number one pick by the New Jersey Nets in 92 or something like
that.
Really
so good.
Coleman, Syracuse.
Nice.
I'm so curious to what Carolina pick Rod's going to pick. I mean, there's a lot to choose from. I have no idea where you're going to go, and I'm sure you got one Carolina guy on your squad. So.
Oh, I got a bunch of Carolina guys listed. But, see, the strategy is, since I got a bunch of Carolina guys listed, Dez, I'm getting ready to take the guy who I knew you wanted. I'm getting ready to take him right now.
All right, go for it.
Hey, he's straight out of the big NC State.
Oh, wait a minute.
You already know who it is. David Thompson, baby.
I wasn't going to get
best
him.
Player of all time in the ACC.
Sir. That's what I'm saying. Look, you got a starter like David Thompson. When it comes to the ACC, David Thompson, you've mentioned David Thompson so many times.
So
I just knew you wanted it.
His dad agrees. David Thompson
is
the best player ever in the ACC. And we're talking college ACC. We're not talking what they did in pros. We're talking about just college. So when you pick Ralph Sampson, I was actually a little happy when you got Ralph there, buddy. David Thompson, man, I had to grab him.
I'm going to make you delighted then with my next pick, because I am not screwing around, because I'm afraid this is not going to be there when it comes back around to me. A 6'6" guard.
Oh, you can have him.
From North Carolina.
You can have him.
Third overall pick of the draft, 1984.
You can have him.
Six-time NBA champion, six-time NBA Finals MVP, five-time NBA Most Valuable Player, 14-time NBA All-Star, 3-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, 10-time All-Star. Why is there even a debate about this dude being the GOAT? I don't understand it as I'm reading through this. His number 23 was retired by the Bulls and the Miami Heat. I don't know why the Miami Heat decided to retire his number, but they did.
Miami Heat retired his number?
Yeah.
Retired number 23.
They did. That's why LeBron didn't wear it in Miami. He wore number 9 because it's been retired.
Six.
Two-time in college, National College Player of the Year in 84, two-time first-team All-American, ACC Player of the Year in 84, Mr. Michael Jordan. And that is my North Carolina pick.
Yeah. Okay.
And he was my first pick for my
starters. Jordan was great, but we're talking college here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, two-time first-team All-ACC, two-time consensus first-team All-American. Yeah.
But he's no David Thompson.
National College Player of the Year in 84, NCAA champion.
Yeah.
I mean,
we know
Dean's about the closest thing to it.
We know Dean Smith held him back. Dean Smith was his kryptonite. Dean was like, Michael, this is a team game. You're getting out of hand. Come sit down on the bench next to me, young man.
The closest thing to the greatest ACC player to David Thompson, who I believe is the greatest. He was the Michael Jordan of the ACC, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, Michael Jordan wasn't.
Yeah. Michael Jordan wasn't Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan said that was his favorite player.
There would be an argument with Ralph Sampson and David Thompson.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan has said that David Thompson was his favorite player, and he almost went to NC State because of David Thompson.
Yep,
so
he sure did.
I can see that. All right, John.
Okay,
number
next.
Two. It's going to start getting kind of wild here.
You know what? I'm going to use my North Carolina pick now.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm going to see. Yeah, there's way too many.
Yes, there's plenty. That's why I'm saving North Carolina for last.
Have a few.
Plenty.
I had to go get Jordan now because I was like, somebody's going
to
grab him.
I'm trying to go position-wise, but we really don't have to, I guess.
Position-wise. No, not really. No. You don't have to.
Wow. And the buzzer's route.
Oh, yeah. There's a timer they're waiting. They're trying to use this buzzer.
Okay.
They're hoping. They're waiting.
This was
I thought it would be John if it was going to be.
I'm using up my time. Come on. James Worthy. Ooh. Big game James.
That's outstanding. I like James Worthy. He's the man.
Yeah, right there. Right. No one's had the buzzer put on them yet. So.
Yeah, he is the man.
Rod, what you got for?
Man, there are so many players out there. I'm not exactly sure who I want to go because I'm trying to use just a little bit of strength. Strategy, especially dealing with guys like, you know, Dez Johnson and Johnny O. You guys have always got something going on here. So I'm trying to figure out who I want to go with. You know what? I think I'm going to stay local. And I'm going to call a name. They know him as the big fundamental. Mm. Ooh. Oh, look at John.
He was like, no, you didn't. I was wondering when he was going to pop up.
Stole him out of my pocket.
I had to do it to you, Johnny. I had to, my friend. But Tim Duncan, player of the year, ACC champion. I mean, good Lord. You know how many world championships he's won with the San Antonio Spurs? Mr. Fundamental stayed out of trouble. You could go to him in the clutch. He had the clutch gene. I mean, he could bank shot you anywhere on the court. And just a great player, great guy. I mean, I can't go wrong with Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Straight out of Wake Forest.
Tremendous.
Yeah. It's a good pick. You might get the buzzer on me here in a bit.
That's what I mean. These last couple three are a tough one.
Yeah. I'm holding off. I specifically picked Boeheim to leave the Duke player bank open because it was going to be between him and Kay for my coach because I knew I was going to pick a player from Carolina instead of a coach. So I'm trying to figure this out. Who did I have? I know my timer's going. Aaron and them are trying to buzz me. I picked Dennis Scott from Georgia Tech, so I can't.
Yeah. You're done with Georgia Tech, either. Baby. You're done.
Come on. You made the rules.
I know. I'm running out of time. Let's see. I don't see anybody from Louisville I want. I ran out of. All right. I'm going to go to Duke, and I'm going to take Grant Hill from Duke.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
I'm going to run. See, I did this wrong because I probably should have. All right, anyway, go.
I can't believe I used J.J. Redick as off the bench. That was my dookie. Are you done with dissertation on that?
Jordan and Hill is what I got.
There's
so
no arguing Grant Hill, man, because he could have been maybe one of the best players.
Played the national championship game 3 out of the 4 years he was at Duke and won twice. So.
Okay. All right, so now I got my NC State player I can use now. And there's a few of them. But I guess I'm going to go old school on this. Kenny Carr, NC State.
Kenny Carr?
Yes.
He back in the 70s, 80s, I think.
Wow.
He was a, I think he was a power forward. He was a stud for NC State.
Yeah.
That's the one I got to use to beat the clock.
That's actually a pretty good pick, I guess.
Yeah, it's not a bad pick.
Yeah. Dang it, you took David Thompson off this list. Now I'm realizing I did want David Thompson.
Yeah, I knew you wanted David Thompson. I was like, I'm going to grab
him.
What
else do I want out of All right, go. It's back on you, Ron.
All right. Let's see here. Do I want to use my Carolina pick? This is a third pick, right?
Yes.
All right, so I don't want to use – well, I could use my Carolina pick. I don't know.
I mean, we've already picked our Carolina
Yeah, you've already
players,
picked your Carolina. Pick you guys have already picked your Duke.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey, I'll go right behind you with Duke. I'll go with a guy who I hate, but he's a heck of a college player. He owns the NCAA tournament records for the most career free throws made, 142 out of 167. He scored over 407 points in the NCAA tournament. And he had back-to-back national championships in 91 and 92. He was a 1991 Final Four Most Outstanding Player, 1992 Player of the Year, Wooden Award, Naismith College Player of the Year Award winner. I mean, a guy like that, you can't go wrong. Christian Laettner, he's the one that all the Kentucky fans hate.
That's a good one.
Yep, Christian Laettner.
Man, okay, so now I'm having a problem, and I thought this was going to start happening right around this moment because as I'm looking at what I've already done, I've already used Virginia, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, Syracuse, Carolina, and Duke. So I've got three spots to fill.
Tick,
and I
tock, tick, tock, tick.
I already used Wake. Dang it. I haven't used NC State. Okay.
But there's only one
David
person.
Thompson.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
It's like, what? I'm going to go to NC State because I've run out of schools, basically. And I'm going to... That doesn't make any sense. This person shouldn't be starting. oh, man. And I'm just kind of scrolling through. How much time I got?
Don't worry about it.
Okay. Oh, God. Ah!
You got to go.
What was Rodney Monroe? Was he a guard or a forward?
I think he was a guard.
He was like a shooting guard.
Right? Yeah.
I'm going to go with, and this hurts my soul, I'm going to pick Tom Gugliotta.
Okay.
Power forward.
Okay.
Not bad.
Wow, as the buzzer goes off, dude.
I wanted to hear that buzzer.
I'm going Tom Gugliotta. It doesn't feel right. I probably should have did this differently and probably had Ralph in here on my starters, but that's how it goes. So all right, Jordan Grant Hill and Tom Gugliotta are on my on my starting five.
But
all right, John.
Back to you. I mean, the rules are great on this. I mean, because it really is making it so difficult.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm coming up with one now. I haven't used my Virginia pick, you know, and you guys steal Ralph Sampson and all that.
Not go to who I think you had.
I'm going
to
say this is an all-ACC selection in each of his four seasons at Virginia.
Johnny.
He scored 2,347 points.
Don't you do it to me.
He was picked in the 1981 NBA draft in the first round by the Portland Trail Blazers.
I should have got him.
The man's name that a lot of people probably don't even know who this guy is, but it was in back in 85, Jeff Lamp.
Jeff Lamp.
Out of Virginia.
Oh, wow.
And that's,
I had him written
that's
down
what we got to do to play this game.
Man,
and
I got you.
The buzzer probably, what do I got, 10 seconds to spare?
Probably.
Holy cow.
All right, Rob.
Jeff Lamp.
Pick four.
All right, so that means I've got to go to my faithful. That means I have got to go to get a Carolina player. So hold on 1 second. Which Carolina player do I want? Do I have a lifeline? Can I call somebody?
No, we should have.
I'm going to go with Mr. Sam Perkins.
Oh, wow. That's your Carolina pick, Sam Perkins?
Sam Perkins,
nice.
Baby.
All these ex-Lakers, too.
Sam Perkins. Right?
Yes, sir. Sam Perkins.
They haven't won more titles than they have. I'm going to throw something out that no one's probably thought of because I've run out of players. I'm running out of teams. I probably did this wrong. I'm going to Virginia Tech.
Okay.
And I'm going to take this guy. He played a shooting guard. And a little small forward in the early 80s.
Oh.
We just talked about his kids a couple minutes ago.
Good one.
I'm going to pick Del Curry.
Nice.
Wow. Mainly out of necessity because, like, again, I've I've burned through the schools I should have saved, and I'm running out. I don't know who this last guy's going to be. It's going to be some dude that played for Clemson like in the mid-80s and no one's heard of probably, but I'm going to pick Del Curry, Virginia Tech. I have a very interesting squad here. It's like all guards. They're all guards.
I like that Del Curry.
All right. So your last pick, John.
Very difficult. We are scraping now.
Yeah.
We're going to different schools and all that kind of good stuff.
I'm trying to remember. I wasn't sure who to pick on here.
But I'm going to go to get it over with because I'm serious. I'm sweating over here trying to figure this out. I'm going to go with a Florida State gentleman.
Okay. Ooh. All right.
And I will say he's a super athlete. Anyone got any guesses? Hmm. Super athlete. A two sport super athlete. A Heisman Trophy winner. Charlie Ward.
Okay.
Playing a little point guard for the basketball team and quarterback. He went to the Knicks, played for the Knicks. Charlie Ward, Florida State.
Gotcha.
I am done, and thank God, because this is one of the toughest contests you've ever thrown at us.
I've screwed up. I screwed up badly. I'll talk about it after we're done. Go ahead, Ron.
All right. I'm going to go back behind you and Johnny O to Virginia. I'm going back to that area. This guy was an all-ACC performer. He was picked number 13. Actually, in the 1992 NBA draft by the Denver Nuggets, and he played there for over 8 years. He had scored over 5,946 points, averaged about 10.1 points per game. His name is Bryant Stith.
Yep. Was he the guard for Ralph Sampson?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. No. This is in the Nuggets. He was at the Nuggets.
Yeah, this is in the 90s.
Yeah, he was there in the 90s. Late 80s, early 90s is when he was at Virginia, Bryant Stith.
Gosh, I don't know what.
I do remember that name.
What teams are left? Like, Carolina, Duke, NC State, Virginia Tech, I've used.
Rod, what I'm seeing right now is an unorganized host of the show.
The guy who put the rules together, Duke, NC State, Virginia Tech, stuck him under the rock.
There's Miami.
And I'm pretty sure that timer should have elapsed about 20 seconds, correct? Guys?
I haven't used Miami, I haven't used Florida State, and I haven't used
Oh, I would have one for Miami for you, but it goes way back.
See, that's what I'm trying to.
I could.
I'm on the clock. I'm on the clock. Shoot.
Rod, do you remember?
How fast can I Google?
While he's thinking.
Back to Virginia.
A superstar out of
Miami.
That went to Miami many, many years ago, but you can still use it. I could. If he doesn't get one, I'm going to give it to him.
Oh, I think I might have found who you're talking about. I didn't know he went to Miami.
I know.
I'm scrolling through the list.
You got the buzzer. That scared me, actually.
I didn't know that was a buzzer. I got a guy, though. Rick Barry.
Yes.
Rick Barry, yeah.
Good one.
Yep.
This is the weirdest start. I did not think my starting five was going to look like this when I put this together. So I've got, for my starting five, Michael Jordan, Grant Hill, Tom Gugliotta, Del Curry, and Rick Barry. John?
I got a badass one here, man. Charlie Ward, point guard. Jeff Lamp out of Virginia. Kenny Carr out of NC State. James Worthy out of UNC. And Derek Coleman clearing the boards for me.
Oh, I'm smashing that team. I'm smashing that team. That's
nice.
I'm throwing that one out. That one's nice. What do you got, Rod?
Man, I got the quadruple towers. Starting with Brian Stith as my guard, right? Man, I've got Tim Duncan. David Thompson, Christian Laettner, Sam Perkins, baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Actually, yeah, you might smash my team.
You might want to play zone defense with that team.
And then
you cannot. Yeah,
yeah, right? Just hold your arms up.
We're holding arms up all day.
Now, I'm proud of my bench. Ralph Sampson, Dennis Scott, Chris Paul, and Jim Boeheim is my coach.
Yeah. And I had Kenny Anderson, J.J. Redick, and Austin Carr and Gary Williams as my coach out of Boston College.
Nice. Yeah, coming off the bench, I've got John Paxson from Notre Dame coming off, Horace Grant from Clemson Tigers coming off, and, of course, Carmelo Anthony coming off the bench.
You're getting two Bulls guys on your bench. I'm like, how did that happen?
Who was your
two Bulls players?
Bobby Crimmins.
Bobby Crimmins. This is interesting. Like, I thought the starters would end up getting kind of crazy, and they did. I think mine's top heavy with Jordan and Grant Hill. But, yeah, I mean, once we got towards the bottom, I mean, I had to use Google for this to figure out like where to go. Yeah. Del Curry, I didn't even know Del. I think I knew he went to Virginia Tech. I just didn't remember it, and I had no idea Rick Barry went to Miami. That's crazy.
Me and Sawyer get to pick the winner.
Oh, okay. All yeah, right. Actually, yeah. Let's do that. Okay, so. One more again. We'll run through it. So I had Jordan, Grant Hill, Tom Gugliotta, Del Curry, Rick Barry starting, and then I had where'd it go? I had lost it. It was great radio here. Ralph Sampson, Dennis Scott, Chris Paul on my bench.
Ralph Sampson off the bench.
Come on.
And Jim Boeheim is my coach.
I had Charlie Ward, Jeff Lamp out of Virginia, Kenny Carr, James Worthy, D.C. Derek Coleman starting with Kenny Anderson, J.J. Redick, and Austin Carr coming off the bench, and the madman coaching us, Gary Williams.
Nice, nice. Guys, I had Brian Stith at the guard starting. Then I had David Thompson, the number one player of college of all time. Then I had the big fundamental, Tim Duncan. I had the killer and Christian Laettner. Then I had big man Sam Perkins, all starters. Coming off the bench, I had Mr. Carmelo Anthony, championship himself, Horace Grant, Bulls champion, and John Paxson, the Bulls champion, baby. That's
so,
who I had.
So who wins? Who had the better team out of this?
Starting with third place. There's your squad is trash.
Oh, my God. Hold on, man. How is my squad trash? Your squad is trash.
Was it the Rick Barry pick?
How is my squad trash? I've got Michael Jordan on my team.
You got college Michael Jordan.
He was a two-time consensus All-American.
You got Tom Gugliotta.
What's that all-ACC Rick player? Rick Barry did the free throw stuff.
You got Ralph Sampson coming off the bench.
Ralph Sampson's awesome.
What are you doing?
I thought someone was going to grab Ralph. Chris Paul on my bench. Jim Boeheim's won 1,000 games.
You gave Jim Boeheim the toughest job he's ever had.
I want to hear
Jim
this.
Boeheim.
Right, who's in second
and
place?
The winner is
highly upset right now.
Between Johnny O and my main man, Ralph.
Michael Jordan on my team. I don't understand this.
Winner is Ryan Thunderbird.
Oh, yeah, baby. Wow. You know it, baby.
Tim Duncan.
I went too far back. You young guys don't know the players I picked.
Wait, Rod literally picked like every guy that's taller than 6'9".
I'm not going to lie. The reason I probably didn't put John ahead of Rod is I have not heard of half those guys.
Yeah, so
I did pick Rod. We had the same lineup.
I can't believe that a Michael Jordan-led squad finished third.
Yeah, but he's not better than David Thompson.
I'll tell you what,
Tim
guys.
Tim Duncan in the paint. He's got Melo coming off the bench for crying out loud.
Man.
He's got Sam Perkins.
That's strong. I actually like Rod's team. Yeah.
He got Christian Laettner.
Laettner, the best.
Yeah, his starter's legit.
Five
and then I got
time.
John Paxson who could hit threes.
Yeah, the Paxson pick, I don't like.
Yeah, I don't know where that was.
Desmond has like the first half space.
We
got to
knock Rod down a little bit.
Look, with that lineup, we don't need Paxson.
Hold on, Sawyer. Say that again now.
I said, Desmond's got like the first half Space Jam squad before they drank the secret stuff. Down by like 60.
Speaking of drinking, can you imagine us trying to do this over a couple beers and without Google?
Because
we
time.
Would have failed miserably.
When we do our first remote from the year, we're going to try to do something like this similar. I don't know if we'll have adult beverages out because it'll be like 11 in the morning, but we might try to pull something on similar to it. So we ran super over on that.
That
so
was
we're
awesome.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hit a little bit of NFL. I don't know what's going on with Antonio Brown because one day he was formally requesting a trade. Then I think I saw yesterday that that's kind of off and he's going to meet with the owner of the Steelers.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing. I had wrote on here, do the Panthers have a legit shot to land the All-Pro? I'm going to say no before we even come back from break because I don't know what the situation is. Plus, good news, Eric Reed was given a 3-year deal to sign with the Panthers. And we had a little situation yesterday that happened after I had put this together. The NFL and Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed have settled their case, their collusion case. So we'll talk about all that, a little bit of football, next on the Rundown.
Shut up.
Sit down.
Are you ready?
Stand by.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
That's right.
You are locked into The Rundown.
brought to you by Giada's Trattoria. Giada's Trattoria restaurant in Kernersville on Main Street with their signature stone oven, culture of hospitality, and North Carolina's best pizza. Giada's lets you and your family and friends share an authentic Italian experience with a twist. Everything is better by the stone oven at Giada's. I might have to mosey on down there for lunch today. I was thinking about them earlier. And I think we're going to all have Monday. A little lunch or something down there soon, right?
Monday.
It's Monday, yeah. So we'll see everybody down at Giada's here real soon. Some NFL talk, a couple of newsworthy items from this past week to get you caught up on. Safety Eric Reed signed a 3-year deal worth $21 million to stay with the Panthers, giving them experience and depth in the secondary. He started the final 13 games of the season. People forget he came in week 3 or 4 or whatever of the season, didn't have training camp, didn't have mini camps, didn't have a chance to get the defense installed, and he finished with 73 tackles, 5 passes defensed, 1 interception, and 1 sack. Good or bad move for the Panthers? Real quick, gentlemen.
I think it's a good move. Now he's settled. He knows, you know, next 3 years he's a Panther, and hopefully we see great things come out of him because we definitely need something in the secondary.
Yeah.
Yeah, they needed some secondary help out there, and I just saw where the safety over at Detroit Lions had just got released. I forgot his name. But he started for them every game since 2013. And, of course, I thought about the Panthers when I saw him get released because, I mean, that guy, he's a great safety. But, yeah, Eric Reed, it's good. I also think that part of the reason he got a 3-year deal is in conjunction with this whole collusion case that's going on.
That's really right.
Popped into my head as well.
No, well, so it happened timeline-wise. Reed signed this deal, I want to say like Tuesday, Wednesday of the week.
Mm-hmm.
A couple days went by. And then as we were going on the air yesterday for the drive, the news broke that the NFL had settled the collusion case with Eric Reed and Colin Kaepernick, where basically they were contending that the owners conspired to keep them out of the league based off of them kneeling for the national anthem. A lot of this was inflamed by President Donald Trump, and they were getting to a point in this case where dirt was about to start coming out in terms of whatever Kaepernick and Reed's side had on the owners. That we had not been privy to that yet. That stuff was about to start coming out because they were about to start presenting that stuff, and yep. Magically the NFL goes, hold on, buddy, we're just gonna pay y'all some money and make this go away. Now, I have to assume, because of hearing quotes from Eric Reed and Colin Kaepernick, that they did not settle for a small amount. Like, whatever they settled for had to be something so large.
I heard it was between $60 and $80
million. That's what I've been hearing, too. That's the number I've been hearing. That kind of makes sense because Kaepernick had a contract for about $14.9 million in 2016 that he was cut by the 49ers. And I would think he would have, if none of this had happened and he just simply got cut by the 49ers, I would think someone would have picked him up.
Of course someone would have
picked him
up. He
probably would be starting somewhere, I would think.
Kaepernick was a two-time NFC visitor to the championship, NFC championship game mm-hmm. each year. He also was an NFC champion and went to the Super Bowl.
He was a catch away from winning the Super
Bowl.
Yes,
sir.
People remember that game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He just happened to lose to, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, which a lot of teams lost to the Ravens that year.
That's when the lights went out.
Exactly.
Right?
That's when the lights went out. So what I'm saying is there is no way that you have a guy like Colin Kaepernick who has had those type of accomplishments at quarterback, and we have people like Blake Bortles still playing. We have people like Sanchez, Mr. Butt Fumble himself, still playing. And you got a guy like Colin Kaepernick, and he can't get a job?
Yeah, I don't
That
get
doesn't
it.
Even make sense.
Well, he could have got a job. From my understanding, again, just from the media news, the Denver Broncos offered him something, and he turned the money down. So
the
Ravens did too, I thought, right?
Yeah,
and
the Ravens
Broncos offered him a job before this whole case came
right.
out.
Right, this is before the
yeah,
kneeling
this
stuff
is before
happened.
The yeah, okay. kneeling stuff happened.
And
I'm
he,
talking about after the kneeling happened, he could not get a job.
And Eric Reed, I mean, honestly, I kind of feel like Eric Reed signing his deal with the Panthers kickstarted the NFL to make the settlement because – Eric Reed said it himself after he signed. He was like, if anything, this proves our point further that we were held out by the owners, because he had to get signed by a brand new owner of a team that wasn't there when all this began. And David Tepper walks to the beat of a different drummer. He's the richest owner in the entire league. No one's going to tell him anything, really. And I think he's going to be the next wave of that Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft. It used to be Jerry Richardson. Those three were probably the three most powerful owners in the NFL. And I think as those guys get older, and well, they're already old, as they start selling off their teams or passing away or whatever ends up happening, David Tepper is going to probably be that new leader of the owners going forward. And I think they're going to start doing more things like the way the NBA does. The NBA empowers their players. David Stern said earlier this week that what happened with Eric Reid and Colin Kaepernick would have never happened in the NBA because they give their players the freedom to express themselves more. From it goes all the way back to the 70s and 80s.
The NBA is a players league.
This is the strongest players union in the league. I mean, in the world. It's the strongest players union in professional sports is in the NBA. And the NFL, man, so they came to an agreement. They had to sign a confidentiality agreement, so they can't reveal the exact amount of the money or anything involved in the case going forward. I don't know how well that's going to work in terms of them keeping a lid on everything, but...
Yeah, that was just the only thing that disappointed me was the confidentiality agreement. I mean, I really wanted to know, you know, how the NFL and the owners took steps and had collusion against these guys. I really wanted that information to come out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's something that could potentially happen to other players later on down the road. And these players need to know how to protect themselves. They need to know how these guys operate. They need to know how these owners maneuver. And I was just really disappointed that the NFL forced them to sign an agreement where they can't say anything about the evidence that they had. And that tells, like you said earlier, Dez, that says a lot in itself right there, that the NFL definitely had some dirt on them and they did not want it getting out to the public, because one of the things that the NFL protects is that shield. And that's all they talk about is protecting that shield.
Got a little bit of breaking news here from Josh Graham from The Drive and WSJS's very own. He posted on Twitter about an hour ago footage of Nasir Little on the floor for warmups. I don't see a wrap on his ankle or anything. And he's wearing regular game gear. So Nas Little might be playing today against Wake Forest out here in Winston-Salem. So that's a good look, especially for later in the week.
Get ready for Wednesday.
Get them loose for Duke. I don't know if you guys saw this, but the AAF, the Alliance of American Football, which I need to check out this weekend. I'm going to try to see if I can catch a couple games.
It looks very interesting.
Like
I watched it. It's good football, guys.
It's good football.
I'm going to check them out for sure.
It's good football. It's not like your what is it, the XFL league or whatever it was?
That'll start next year, actually. Yeah. Vince McMahon.
Yeah, it's not like Vince McMahon's league.
I mean, it's on CBS. It's backed by Bill Polian's the commissioner, and
you could tell
Spurrier's coach.
Yeah.
Could tell the NFL is involved.
I think eventually they might be able to make this some sort of farm system or something for guys out there. I think that's a good idea.
Even Steve Spurrier said, oh, no, I mean, if we're preparing them, if they go, you know, if we lose a player and he goes in NFL, he goes, that means we did our job.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what else that I liked about it when I watched this thing. These guys are hitting.
Oh, yeah. I noticed they're letting hits go in this league.
There are a lot of hits that would have been flagged in the NFL that can happen in the AAF league.
I saw something that was cool they'll never do this, but I saw something on Twitter earlier in the week where someone said what they should do is have the winner of the AAF play the winner of the XFL every year in like a mini Super Bowl.
Right.
And then the winner of that game has to play the team with the worst record in the NFL. And whoever wins that game becomes a member of the NFL, and the loser has to drop down to whatever league that they had to play against, like the way they do soccer overseas. And I thought about it, and I was like, no, that's stupid. And then I started thinking about it more. I was like, actually, that's kind of cool, because then it gives you a vested reason to watch the whole journey. Like, you could watch from the spring, you would be watching basically – the AAF and the XFL, because next year the XFL is going to be on the same time in the spring, so they're competing like NFL AFL, like old school type way.
Absolutely.
Then they play each other in a Super Bowl in like the end of the summer, and then you have it as a preseason game for the beginning of the next season, where whoever had the worst who had the worst record in NFL this past year,
was it the Raiders?
Yes. No.
Was it?
Yes, I think it was.
I
think it's Arizona.
Arizona?
So preseason, the Hall of Fame game would be the Arizona Cardinals versus the San Diego Fleet or whoever won the XFL, AAF thing or whatever. Yeah. And it makes that game more meaningful. It actually feels like a real game, because at that point, Arizona would be they'd be fighting for their
right to stay in the NFL
a month before the season's about to begin. So So there should be so much like drama going on. Aaron is poo pooing my idea here from the control room.
It's a fun concept. The NFL would never go for
They'd never go for it.
They'd never go for it.
But that'd be cool though. Like, I mean, it'd give me a reason to watch the Hall of Fame game. You have the Hall of Fame ceremony, and then that Saturday night you have the Hall of Fame game. If you've never been to Canton before, it's the Hall of Fame is sitting on Interstate 77. You drive past it as you're driving up towards Cleveland.
It's like a little high school feel, too.
It is. That, like, it looks bigger on TV, but when you're driving past it, it literally looks like...
Looks like a Division II football...
It's like East Forsyth. It's like East Forsyth High School Stadium sitting on the highway. Yeah, it looks like East Forsyth Stadium just kind of sitting there.
Yep.
And it's just these concrete bleachers that go up. But when you watch it on TV, it looks bigger. Yeah. It looks like a bigger stadium.
It does, yeah.
Until you're standing beside it and you realize it has like 30 parking spaces and it's just like this little field.
And then, too, what would happen with that team's first overall pick?
See?
You know, then you'd have the first overall pick playing in the AAF.
Yeah, if they lost. If they lost, they have to be there for a year, and they have to work themselves back up to the NFL.
Mayfield and the Browns this past year having to play in the AAF and the NFL missing out on that action.
Tearing it up, too. That would have been great. But the AAF actually offered Colin Kaepernick and Tim Tebow a chance to play in the league, and according to reports, Kaepernick wanted $20 million minimum to play for the AAF. And I've seen people kind of go, oh, what's wrong with him? Who does he think he is? He thinks he's Colin Kaepernick. Like, I mean.
The same guy who's been to the NFC Championship twice, won one, and been to a Super Bowl.
Like, do people understand how valuable it would be if Colin Kaepernick played in the AAF? Like, how many eyeballs that would bring to that league immediately?
Everybody would be watching.
Everyone would be watching that. And he, the one thing I've learned the past couple of years in my my career, moving around, doing different things, know your worth. Know how much you are worth to an employer or wherever you are, and don't short sell yourself. So I have no problem with getting 20. Plus, he probably already knew that they're about to settle anyway, and he's about to grab a quick 80 or whatever it was from the NFL. So he knew, hey, if you really want me out there, pay me $20 million, and you know we're good. Yeah,
I think he'd get the ratings up where they could sell some ad time to see Colin Kaepernick for $20 million.
Let's take we got to take one more break. When we come back, a new quick segment. We'll see how this goes. Odds and ends, a rapid fire round. We'll get 2 minutes of debate and random topics. You don't want to miss this. Next on the Rundown.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah!
It's going to be one big party.
Yeah, I'm on.
Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Today on the Sports Hub, NCAA and T. North Carolina A&T University taking on Howard. Spencer Turkin and Cy Alexander on the call. That's a 3:30 p.m. tip-off. Later tonight on the Sports Hub, college basketball action. First-ranked Tennessee versus fifth-ranked Kentucky tonight on the Sports Hub. Tune in at 7:45 p.m. tonight for coverage. Guys, let's get into this. Odds and ends. Let's go ahead and set the clock. So you can give me a music bed, too, if you want, to make this go a little bit quicker. You got 30 seconds on each one of these to give me an answer. As soon as I hear the music, we will get going and see how this goes. If this works well, we'll make it a bigger segment down the road.
Perfect.
All right, here we go. It's an interesting choice there, sorry.
That was the first one that popped up.
Right. Yeah, I was
I'm not questioning you.
I was kind of liking that deep cover there.
All right, here we go. 30 seconds on the clock. Here we go. John, who will have a better season next year, Joe Flacco or Lamar Jackson?
Okay, as far as better season, Lamar Jackson will have better stats. Joe Flacco will have more wins with Denver.
Rod, can NC State pull off the upset tonight in Cameron Indoor versus Duke?
NC State is in trouble. They cannot even pull up their underwear in Cameron Stadium tonight.
Sean, should Eli Manning return for a 16th season with the New York Football Giants?
Absolutely, until they get another quarterback. Eli is the man. He's got a year or two left in him.
And finally, Rodney, Anthony Davis injured his shoulder Thursday night versus the Thunder. If you are the Pelicans, do you play him again after the All-Star break, or do you shut him down?
I continue to play Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis wants to play. Besides, he's not all that injured.
Hey, catch us on iTunes, SoundCloud, video clips available from netcastsports.com on YouTube, or full shows via subscription. Download the free WSJS Sports Hub app from Google Play or iTunes. We are on Spotify now, as well as a bunch of other podcast outlets, so definitely look for us there. And then check out 4 Minutes with me, Desmond Johnson, every Thursday on YouTube. I just started this past week. A quick recap of top sports news in Carolinas every week, powered by SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. We are out. Go watch you some Carolina basketball. They're about to tip off here in like 2 minutes. Carolina taking on Wake Forest at the Joel. We'll see you next week.